Yeah, she's a 360 all the way around.
All right, Steve Phillips will join us here in a moment. Jays rained out last night, off today, back in action tomorrow. Cleveland in town for three, and then Baltimore's up here for three, and then Yankee Stadium for four. So the next 10 days, very active, very important for the Jays. Seattle took two of three against the Yankees, and now they are a half game back. You got Baltimore two back, Tampa's two back, Minnesota, I think, two and a half, three back. You got a race here, man. You got
a
race.
American League.
You got a race in the American League.
National League's pretty much done, but the American League is heating up nicely.
Yep.
And who would have thought that Baltimore would be a factor in this whole equation, let alone how many times the Jays play them?
It most certainly is. Like, Baltimore is right there, man. They're two back. Like,
and they trade their closer, and they trade their big bat.
Yep. Good for them.
And it just changes the makeup of the locker room.
Yep, it does.
It speaks to change. It really does. The willingness to make a change, and obviously, you were unloading.
Well, I think they're realistic in terms of like a World Series pursuit.
Right.
But, you know, with the playoffs expanding to three wildcard teams and none of these teams looking to take off, like Tampa's struggling. The Jays have been, you know, mediocre. Like, they had a great run there when Schneider took over, but they were playing weak competition. And the Jays' record against high-quality teams is not flattering. And they're going to play a lot of them the rest of the way.
And Baltimore has to feel good in that they can control the Jays.
That, well, they got 13 games left.
They themselves control the Jays.
Yep, absolutely. Now, that can be a two-way street, for sure, but Baltimore's looked pretty good. Here's our TSN Blue Jay and MLB analyst, Steve Phillips. What do you make of this wild card race now, Steve? You got five teams legitimately in it. I don't think the White Sox will hold on. We'll see. But if they can, that'll make six. Six teams pursuing three spots. I mean, it's kind of difficult to get a read on how this is going to shake out right now.
Yeah, it's going to be a great race. It really is. And you know, health is going to be a factor for all the teams. And then it's about going up. I mean, the head-to-head matchups are going to be really important because it's a double win when you do that. You get the win, and you're beating the other team that's in the hunt with you. So those are going to be very important down the stretch. And so, yeah, I mean, I heard you guys talking about it. The Orioles are shocking. We talked about it last time. I mean, I keep waiting for the bubble to burst, but they keep on fighting, and they believe in themselves, and they're finding ways to win games right now. And the Guardians right now, you know, making the push that they are, passing the Twins. And you know, the Twins were pretty active at the deadline, and the Guardians didn't do anything. The Guardians didn't do anything. Like, they just were, you know, and then go at a bat, go at an outfielder, get Ian Happ. Like, why wouldn't they add some guys? I mean, Wilson Contreras would have been a great fit for them. But, you know, they didn't do anything. They didn't even try to do anything. But here they are. They've put themselves in a position right now. They've won four games in a row. They won seven of the last 10. So Cleveland sitting atop the Central. Minnesota and the White Sox have to have a run in them, but the loss of Tim Anderson could be crippling as he's going to be out for 4 to 6 weeks. And so it's hard to know which way this is going to go, but, you know, I would certainly think the Jays, you have to like their chances. Seattle's going to, you know, they're playing out of their minds right now, beating the Yankees as they did. And so, you know, the other teams may be battling for that third wild card spot.
Well, what do you make of the Blue Jays' record against teams that are above 500? In other words, competitive teams where they are, you know, a sub 500 team themselves. What does that say about the Jays and how they stack up?
Well, I mean, it's easy to say, yeah, right. You know what? They're not as good as some of those other good teams. Sometimes, though, that comes down to timing and how teams line up and when they play against each other. You know, and so I don't always put complete stock in that. But then again, you look at the Yankees, and the Yankees are 20 games over 500. They're 10 games over, they're 30 games over 500. They're 10 games over against teams that are 500 or better. And then you look at the Astros, the other great team in the American League. They're 15 games over, 32 and 17 against teams over 500. And so, you know, but then again, I think the part of it for the Jays is you play in the American League East. And everybody is just about over 500. Boston slipped under by a few games. But, you know, within your own division, when you're playing these teams 19 times, this is kind of what happens, is everybody beats each other up.
Steve, I want you to put your GM hat on again for a minute here with Berrios and catching a little bit of a break maybe and pitching at home now, or he's 6-0 tomorrow night. But have you had a case in the past where one of your guys, and specifically a pitcher, so much better at home than on the road? And it, do you sidle up to him as a general manager at a quiet moment by the coffee machine and say, hey, what are you thinking about this?
Yeah, I tend not to do that with him, other than to say, hey, you got it. Or, you know, I don't want to, you know, try to figure it out. I'd rather let the pitching coach and him deal with it. If there's a mental skills coach, let them deal with it. But I would then sit with those people and challenge them. Like, what are we doing? What are we thinking? What's going on? But I tend to leave the player out of my line on that one, other than to just pat him on the back, say, listen, you got it today. Let's go. We, you know, they're going to back you up. Let's get them. But I wouldn't necessarily go and be part of that prying loose what's going on in his head. You know, sometimes it can be preparation. You know, the idea that, you know, your team's hitting first and therefore you're going to be in the dugout sitting for a while versus being the, you know, the home team where you're going to go right out to the mound right away. Is there a way that we should change the warm-ups for it? I mean, those are the questions as a general manager. I tend to play devil's advocate where I keep challenging, saying, okay, that's great, but what about this? Have we thought about this? What else could we be doing? Is it something about the timing, the preparation, the video, the warming up and cooling down? You know, we've got to get to the bottom of it. But then again, when he gets rained out on the road, he gets pitched at home. Yes, there's a sense of relief there for sure.
Oh, for sure, with Steve Phillips. Obviously, with Springer on the IL, the Jays have tested a couple of different guys atop the order. Whit Merrifield's got a long history of doing it. But offensively, he has not had a great season. They've went with Gurriel the last couple of games, and Gurriel over the last 6 weeks has been very effective at the plate. Do you picture a future there with Gurriel? Do you see him as a guy who can kind of set the table for you, hit and lead off?
I don't think he's like a prototypical guy, but, you know, he tends to not walk a lot, but, you know, he's leading all of baseball in batting average since June 1st. He's hitting .360 since June 1st. He's got the best batting average in the game. And so, you know, he hits his on-base percentage, right? His batting average is his on-base percentage, but if you hit .360, that works in the leadoff spot. And, you know, and hopefully he can just relish it and go out there and start swinging and not try to be something that he's not. You know, what happens a lot of times is you move a guy into the leadoff spot and, you know, he walks a lot, he's that, or he's, you know, he thinks, okay, well, now I've got to try to be something different than what I've been. When you're moved there because the manager thinks that who you are and what you've been doing works for the team to be that same guy in that same role. And so, but guys, you know, they get in their heads a little bit and everybody tries to be something a little bit different.
And take you out to the West Coast now, Steve. There's so much specialization in sport, and Ohtani breaks a record this week, and in when you include the name Babe Ruth in a record you're breaking, and you get your 10th win and your 10th, you know, more than 10 home runs in a year, is there a chance that this changes the specialization and lets, because if you're looking at the pitchers that come up, they're usually the best athlete, and they probably hit through high school at least, and they're one of the best hitters, and then it has to narrow down and specialize. And do you see a guy like that sort of putting the tees out there, because you know you've had pitchers that want to hit?
Yeah, I got to tell you that I don't think it's going to change. Ohtani is a unicorn. There are some other guys who want to be like that, and they're more likely probably hitters who have a good arm but can't really play a position, but they've got a good arm, so let's see if we can put them on the mound and get a second spot out of it. That guy's going to be a reliever. The idea that a guy's going to be a starter like him and a DH like him, I honestly don't know, you know, anybody else that's capable of that. Or that's in the pipeline to do something like that. You know, Hunter Green, the young man with Cincinnati Reds, was throwing 100. He signed, and he wanted to be a two-way player. He was going to be a shortstop and a pitcher. And then, you know, about a year and a half into it, he's just a pitcher. And so, you know, I think that it's really hard to do both, as Ohtani has shown. I mean, he makes it look easy. I mean, you would think that he makes it look so easy that somebody else has to at least do it, even if it's not as easy. But the physical wear and tear, I mean, that back in the day, when Babe Ruth, you know, was doing it, he got traded to the Yankees, he said, nobody physically can do this. It's not possible to do it this way. Now, again, he was, you know, drinking beer and eating hot dogs and chili dogs and you know, it wasn't necessarily in the same sort of condition that Ohtani is. But the physical, emotional, mental wear and tear that goes on a guy who's playing every day as a hitter is one thing. Then you factor in a guy who's going to pitch every fifth day. How do you prepare for both? How do you mentally get ready? How do you mentally get your body right? How do you not obsess about how you feel every day? You know, thinking, geez, I feel a little tough today. How am I going to be able to make my start in 2 days? I don't know how he does it. I don't think there's a way to describe it to get people to understand how impossible it is what he's doing.
So the Field of Dreams game goes tonight, and it's a nightmare in terms of the two teams playing. It really is. It's Cubs, Reds. There's history with the two, clearly. They've been around forever. The Cubs are playing, so it's something you can promote. But I don't know how you can match last year the way the Yankees and Sox, you know, the history of those two teams, the way that they battled, they performed. Tim Anderson, I think, walked it off. It is about nostalgia. It's about the scene as much as it is about the game. But do you think baseball would prefer some sort of a redo here and get two teams of relevance in terms of standing? Or does that not matter with a game like this?
Yeah, I think that you know, Iowa is Cubs territory. You know, the Des Moines team, the AAA affiliate there. And so I think in some regard, there's a thought that it's a bit of more of a home game for them. Then I think, you know, Cincinnati, Midwest, they've got a AAA affiliate in Indianapolis. They may be some part of a draw there to bring people. Now, there's only 8,000 seats. Now, I can't imagine they're going to have a hard time filling the seats. But I think that that's, you know, in part. And you've got, you know, old-time, you know, franchises who are part of it now, right? I mean, the Reds always used to have the first, the earliest game on opening day. You know, we know that the history and tradition of the Cubs organization. And so I think that, yeah, ideally you'd love to have, you know, Mets Dodgers there right now. I mean, well, that would be amazing. But, you know, I think that they're looking at the franchise histories in it. And the game should carry itself. I mean, I was there last year for it. It was unbelievable. It was one of the great moments of my being able to cover baseball was being at that game. I just thought it was so cool. I loved the movie. The set was amazing. The corn maze, although there's no corn maze this year. But you know, the corn fields out there, the way they set up the field, the clubhouses, the old time look of the walls and the scoreboard. It's a really special place. And in the game last year, I mean, here's the thing. It's going to be anticlimactic this year. There's no way they can do what they did last year. That was unreal. You know, Kevin Costner walking out of the corn onto the field and talking. he talked a little too much.
Yeah.
But he's Kevin Costner. And so, you know, it's I don't know. I got such a kick out of it. I loved it. But I knew that this was going to be a challenge for sure to live up to that. The sequel's never as good as the original, and I can't imagine that that's going to be any different tonight.
No, I think you're probably right. What do you make of the Tigers firing their GM, who's been there for quite some time? They've been a really terrible team for a while. But does this suggest that they had higher expectations this season? What are we supposed to make of a firing in August, after the deadline, after the draft? What's with the timing, and where do the Tigers think they're going?
Yeah, I think the timing makes some sense, so they can get out and start interviewing people now and get a new general manager in place for the offseason. They did have expectations this year. They thought that, you know, they played 500 or better the second half of the season last year. But, you know, when teams that are rebuilding play 500 in the second half of the season, I don't look at that as, oh boy, they're on the verge. It's a lot easier when the games don't mean anything. You know, that like there's no pressure of a playoff race. It's just, you know, you're out there playing and you know, I didn't think that they were a playoff team this year, but I didn't love the signing of Javi Baez. I think he's, you know, he's reckless with the bat in his hand, and he makes dramatic plays, but sometimes the routine plays can be tough. And so, you know, I feel bad for Detroit. I'm not surprised they made the move that they did. He had been GM for about 7 years there. And because of the expectations, and they had some momentum last year, they thought they would take a step forward, and they've taken a big step backwards. You know, the Ilitch family, they're willing to put money into the team to get them to win. They're really good owners. You know, being from Detroit, for me, I've always sort of rooted for them in some way just because it's my hometown team. But it's been a tough run, and they did take a step back. And now, you know, what is Spencer Torkelson, the first baseman? Is he a bust, or is he going to be a good player? Right. Riley Green, the center fielder, good-looking kid. But, you know, he's got to grow into it a little bit. Miguel Cabrera's talked about retiring and not finishing out his last year in his contract, which they got to be thinking, please, can we get out from the $32 million on that one? Now, Mrs. Cabrera is probably going to have something to say about that,
yep.
I would think.
Yep.
So we'll see. But, yeah, I'm not surprised, you know, and it's just the nature of this game. Al Avila is a really good baseball man. He's been in the game for 30-plus years, 22 years in Detroit. He will end up with another team if he wants to keep working somewhere.
Great catching up with you, Steve. As always, enjoy the games tonight, buddy. We'll do it early next week.
All right, you got it. My pleasure. Have a good weekend.
There's Steve Phillips, our TSN MLB analyst. You a Field of Dreams guy, Pooley?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, it's
I mean, a great romantic
movie. It's emotional.
In every sense.
Right. There, like, baseball, I think, suits it more.
It does.
You know, kind of a slow build, the attachment to the sport, the fact that it was America's pastime, so the relationship to your parents.
Bringing history back into it.
Bringing history back into it, yep.
It's a game that suits history very well, and it's really hard in other sports to make comparisons. I mean, I just brought up Ohtani and Babe Ruth in the same sentence.
Right.
Like, it, you know, to try and do that in hockey seemingly doesn't work.
No.
It just doesn't, right?
Not that far back.
Football doesn't work. Like, football, you talk about the NFL back in the 60s.
No, they didn't throw the ball down the field.
Totally different.
Yeah.
Totally different.
No, it's
whereas baseball,
beautiful.
It seems to, I mean, the fact that base paths are still the same length in this day and age, and basically the stadiums, I mean, Fenway and Wrigley are still the exact same
right.
stadium.
Yankee Stadium's about basically the same dimension.
And yet a hit to the shortstop on a relative basis is still a close play at first base.
Mm-hmm.
How does that work? With the speed increase, the size, everything else, they throw so much better, and yet both have increased in the same increments.
Right.
And it's still a close play
it's
at
true.
First.
It's amazing because the ball is being hit harder, but they're running
different
faster.
Different ball.
Different ball.
Different bats.
Yeah, now the mound has gone up and down a little bit over time.
Yeah, but not since 1968.
No, it's been a long time.
And that was Bob Gibson, who was too overpowering.
Yes, he was.
And so I still marvel that a double play is still really close at first base, and it was 58 years ago.
I know, it's incredible. No, it's the only sport where you can compare stats and have a debate over who's the greatest of all time with someone in 2022 compared to someone in 1922. Like, Babe Ruth had 714 home runs. Albert Pujols hit his 687th last night. They're both crushing baseballs 100 years apart.
So that's why the Field of Dreams works.
Yeah.
It does. It's why you watch a movie like that and you watch a scenario like last year in that game that you talked about, which they couldn't have written a better script had there been a movie producer in charge of that game.
I feel like it's also a sport that everyone has taken part in the basics of the sport. Mm-hmm. In other words, everyone's thrown a ball, everyone's hit a ball, everyone's caught a ball. Everyone's run the bases. Everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone. I believe everyone that lives in North America has done that.
Fast and slow.
Not everyone can skate. Not everyone's been hit holding a football. Basketball, not everyone can dunk.
No.
You know, like, there's just certain things that in the other big four sports, people are just like, I can't do that. But you can hit, you can throw, you can catch, you
and
can
you
run.
And you have done it.
And you've done it.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean you've done it at the highest level, but you've done it so you can connect to it. You can connect to the sport. Yeah, Pujols, man, that was incredible last night. He hit his 687th home run.
When he hits one, you, like,
it's a newsflash.
He hits it.
And he hits it. And he did so last night off his 448th different pitcher. Can you imagine that? 448
awesome.
Different people
that is awesome.
Walking around that have given up a home run to Albert Pujols. That is one shy of tying Barry Bonds for the most pitchers homered against in MLB history.
Do you think those pitchers wish they could watch themselves pitch against?
Probably not. That one they're okay with not pulling an Antonio Brown. I think Albert would like to see himself. He hit 687 home runs. He also had four hits last night, becoming the oldest player in Cardinals history to record a four-hit game.
Okay, so philosophically, now this is getting maybe a little too philosophical. If you are going to say you can watch yourself do something, can't you kind of watch yourself hit a home run? Like, more so than you can?
Not so much out of body, though. Like, you can watch the ball leave.
Right.
But you can't watch
more
yourself.
More so than you can watch yourself be a wide receiver in the NFL.
Yes. Like Antonio Brown.
Because you're stationary.
It's an understandable regret. Is that what you're saying? You're starting to reason with Antonio Brown and his post that the only thing he regrets.
I don't want to even pretend.
Yeah. Imagine that. That's a scary sentence. I'm reasoning with Antonio Brown. That's when you realize you are unreasonable.
Great drama.
Yeah, because it's his only regret. Antonio Brown, the only regret he has is not being able to see himself play football.
Live.
Live. Yeah, not on tape. Anyone can see it on tape. He's seen it on tape. He's got every single route he's ever run on tape. But live in the stadium watching. Tailgating beforehand. Plans for dinner afterwards. What a regret. Shameful, really. It's too bad.